him as a soldier. When you're in basic training, you want to do things right because you want to graduate, because you have a goal as a soldier. When you get into the army and you go into basic training, it's because you want to get through it and you want to have a job. And it's quite interesting. Now, my question to you this morning is, have you ever heard this before? Where did you find it? In the Bible. Let's go to the next slide. First of all, before we get into that Bible verse, the Bible says this about us. As good soldier of Christ Jesus, we are called soldiers. And the next Bible verse is where we find what I just shared with you. In 2 Timothy 2:4, it says, no soldier gets entangled in things of this life. Quite interesting. We have to really meditate on this word so it becomes power in our lives. And about a year and a half ago, I put this Bible verse on my computer background screen. And I work a lot with my computer. And I put it there because I want to be able to meditate on it almost every day. I want to think about it. I want to... Je veux remuer. It's a word that we use in French. Probably somebody can find out the word in English for me. It's when you see a cow in a field and it's chewing on the straw and he keeps chewing on it. And you're like, are you ever going to finish chewing on it? I haven't for a year and a half. I'm still chewing on it. And it's doing some good in my life. Because when I showed up in Haiti, my wife and I, we got to Haiti. What a change of life. What a change in life. It was so different. Oh, I enjoyed not having snow in the winter. The pastor was saying a few minutes ago, isn't it beautiful? Isn't it great to go outside dressed the same way? We did that for the last 9 months. You get up in the morning, you go outside, t-shirt, shorts. Next day, the same thing. It was wonderful. We have flowers in Haiti. Every day there's flowers around us. There's sunshine almost every day. That's great. But then comes reality. The heat. I was there for 9 months. In the first month or two, I lost 15 pounds. And I haven't gained them back yet. A little bit up, a little bit down. So I lost a lot of weight. 15 pounds, when you weigh 150 to get there, you lost 10% of your weight. So it was a tithe to the Lord, 10%. It was my weight. That it's interesting. To get used to that heat and that weather was a challenge. Then comes the culture shock. Woo! We have a young man here from India. You probably understand a bit about culture shock. It hits you really hard. How people are poor. Their whole thought pattern dealing with being poor. Their whole thought pattern dealing with being slaves. The way they see us, white people, and their mindset towards us, and how we interact with them, and how we have to get their confidence, build respect. We live in a community. The community that we live in started with a minister from Quebec that went to Haiti. He started a ministry with people that lived through the earthquake. So we have 8 families that they brought out of Port-au-Prince 9 years ago after the earthquake. They set them up on a piece of property that they bought. They built buildings to house them. Over the last 8 years, they've built buildings to have school because these 10 families, have about 30 kids. So you got to give them schooling. But then it grew out of the property and they built a school and started having kids from the community come to the school. And in September, this is 9 years later, in September, we will have over 300 children in our school. So we live in this community with all these children. We have the 30 kids during the day, 24 hours a day, the kids in the community. And in the day, we have over 250 kids coming to school. And here we are, the only white people in this community. The founder of this ministry comes once in a while, but the ministry runs on itself, and we are in the middle of this, getting to know the community, getting to know the culture, being faced with all the challenges. The bugs, the spiders, the frogs, the animals, We're city folk. We're getting used to all these things. So the challenge was so hard. And facing all these challenges, the heat, the challenges, the culture clash, that puts stress on a couple. Do you know what stress on a couple means? Trouble. And if you don't get things organized, if you don't discuss things with your wife, if you don't get things calmed down, it's going to explode. We're living all this at the same time. Then there's the fact that you're no longer with your family and friends. You're in another culture. Our grandchild was born while we were in Haiti, so we are missing things. And then you start to realize, if we're not focused on what God is calling us to do, we're losing it, and we're going to come back home to our comfort, to our family and friends. But that's where this comes in. This Bible verse helps us to see things, God wants us to see things, whether you're here in Cornwall or you're in Haiti or in any part of the world. Wherever you are facing challenges. You're facing difficulties. We're on this planet together, and things are not getting better. Do you know that things are getting worse? Okay, so it's the same thing in Haiti. In Haiti, we're having a lot of challenges. We're living with the people that are suffering of what they're living through right now with the political unrest, the manifestations. We hardly traveled this year. We were hoping to travel more because our goal when we got to Haiti was to learn language and culture and reconnect with the different ministries, and everything was turned upside down because of the call the Lord had for us in that ministry and also because of the political crisis in the country where we can't travel. And to feel what the Haitians are feeling because we're living amongst them when things are going bad in the country, when they hear about manifestations, when they hear about killings, when they hear about roadblocks, and they're living it, and you're living with them, and you're feeling with them what they're living. You're starting to understand what they're living. And like I said, if you're not focused, because of all these things happening, you're going to come back home. But this Bible verse tells us, don't get yourself entangled with the affairs of this life. There's a separation. And we want to please Him who enrolled us as a soldier. So our focus is on what? The things that are happening every day, our comfort or the lack of comfort. We live in one room. That's our bedroom. Then we have an office. Everything's separated. We have a community kitchen. We don't have a washroom in our house. We got to go outside. And that's sometimes a challenge at night when it's raining. So the comfort is not there. So what is there? A focus. A focus on what God is calling us to do. A focus, something bigger than us. Something that's impossible to reach. But that's what we're focused on. So a soldier, the same thing. When you're close to soldiers and you know soldiers, at one point you step back and you say, they're going overseas. This is a reality. They're going overseas. They're going to go on in a zone where it's a war. Why are they going there? Because they're focused. They have a higher calling to protect us. And they give up their life to do that. Are we not called to die to self as Christians and to do what God is calling us to do? So we need to be focused. How can we do what God is calling us to do? Well, we don't get entangled with everyday life things. We have to get, if I can put it this way, entangled with God. Really get dependent on God. Really get close to Him to understand, to hear His heartbeat. We sing about His heart. We sing about His love. When you step into that zone, you start getting focused on what He's calling you to do because you want to please Him. Remember, most of you probably got married at one point in your life. How focused you were on that day to get married. Nothing would have stopped that day from coming. You were so well focused on this. You're now a soldier. The focal point is not 3, 4, 5 months away or a year away because you're engaged. You get married? Oh, yeah. By the way, you are engaged, but you don't know when that wedding day is coming. We're going to be married to Christ one day. So we got to get focused on that. We got to get focused on heaven. But while we're on the earth, we're also getting focused on what God is calling us so we can go forward. So we can do what He's calling us to do each and every day. I've met struggles while living here in Canada. Health issues. A health issue to the point of where you're saying to God, take my life, I can't take this anymore. It's just too painful. So I went through that, and it lasted a long time. It was boring, it wasn't exciting, but I was focused. I kept telling people through sickness, I still see the light at the end of the tunnel. That kept me focused. And today I can talk about it. I can talk about the pain from the past. I don't live it anymore. That's wonderful. When it's happened recently, being in pain, and you get a little bit of pain again, you feel the pain from the past creep up on you. So today, when I'm in pain, physical pain, isn't it wonderful? The past pain doesn't come forward anymore. I can deal with it. So if you're dealing with pain and is being dragged on after the meeting, come and see me. We'll pray. Because people have pain, have gone through pain, have more compassion than somebody has never had pain. So we'll stand together and believe and get focused on the day of deliverance. Yeah. Wouldn't it be wonderful if it was today? Yeah. Amen. Amen. But if it's not today, just keep focused. You'll get through it. So while we're in Haiti, we struggled through culture clash. Culture clash hits you like a baseball bat behind your head and you didn't see the guy swinging behind you. And it hurts. It gets you all riled up. It gets you into reaction mode instead of action mode. Do you know the difference between action and reaction? What'd you do? That's reaction. What just happened? Okay, can you explain to me why you just did that? Two different modes. God calls us to be in action, not in reaction when something happens. But we're not perfect. So when we do get into reaction mode, we got a great antidote. It's called asking forgiveness. Oh, I'm sorry, brother, for having reacted like that with you. Please forgive me. That's great. But culture hits you like that. You can be walking along the street and all of a sudden something happens, a discussion, a body, how can I use this word in English, un comportement, the way you behavior, you know, behaviors, the way people will speak to you, react to you with their facial expressions, that can really hit you really hard because you're in a different culture. You don't know how people are thinking, they're reacting, how they're talking, or they'll say things that to you is like completely out of context. And it's like, what planet are you from? No, it's reality. You're speaking to them and then you don't understand what they're saying. They're saying words or expressing themselves. Sometimes they're expressing feelings in a conversation where you don't expect them to be there. It's just because of not understanding what they're living. In Haiti right now, which I believe is the same thing about a week and a half ago, because a week and a half ago we were in Haiti, there is still unrest in the country. They're talking about manifestations. And when they do manifestations, they're destroying things, they're burning things, and people are being killed. This is the reality. And when that is happening in the country, the community that we're living with, even if it's happening 50 kilometers away, because we live 50 kilometers away from Port-au-Prince, when it's happening in Port-au-Prince, the people in the community are not happy campers. They're feeling for their country. They're suffering with their country. You know? And this has been repetitive for year after year. So they're suffering. But what's nice is they're Christians. So they're not being focused just on the pain. And then when things get a little bit easier, they're back to normal, and they're working, and things are going forward. Praise the Lord for the presence of Jesus in this community. Can we just move on to the next slide? So what are we focused on, my wife and I? We're focused on our mission. And our mission hasn't changed since last year, which is great. And that's where we see what God has given us is the right focus. We want to sow the word of God into the hearts of the children and equip the youth to become future leaders in Christ who will rebuild a new Haiti. And our focus is still there. So when we're suffering, we're going through different pains, different culture clashes, we are still focused on the children and the youths. And we're having an incredible time in Haiti. When we got there, we thought we would just be doing culture and language training for the first year. But then we got involved with a ministry that has been there for 8 years, with the 10 families, 8-10 families, the 30 kids, a school that's growing. So there's so much going on. So much going on. We'll go to the next slide. I hope this is going to make you laugh. No, I did not dig that hole. I jumped into it to take a picture because I thought it would be a great picture to show you. But I was involved with that construction. I told you last year, I'm not there to build buildings. So I had to get involved with building buildings because we want to see the school grow. But that's not my focus. But I'm helping them oversee the construction work. Because of my education, but because of my experiences, I'm able to oversee. So I'm doing accounting with my wife, who has a lot more talent in accounting than myself. But I'm overseeing because I'm overseeing the construction work. So when they need money, they come and see me. Then I go see my wife. Do we still have money? And she says yes or no. And then I redo the list based on how much money we still have so we can do the construction work. Because we're building a school, because we're focused in this ministry not only to build a school, but we're also focusing on what we're focusing on is a trade school. So if we want to see a trade school in this community, and they want to be able to house all the computers that we got in the last year, somebody say amen. We got a donation computers, which is helping us to build towards a trade school. We have to build foundations and then build a building. At the end of the presentation, we will show you a little video which shows you the construction work that's being done for the school so you can understand what we're saying here. At the same time we're doing all this, we're in a community with 30 kids and we want to build towards a trade school, so we got to start small. So I'm sitting down with a young man. We took apart, this was beautiful. Why it's beautiful is because most of the poor children in Haiti have no access to material. They have never seen the inside of a motor. So I'm sitting there with them with soldering iron. We're taking apart a motor, and I'm showing this child, and I've shown this to other children in the community, how a motor works. The electricity you need, the motors inside, what are they, these motors? They're magnets. And when you put a current, it generates a magnetic field, and it has a motor turning. They might not understand everything, but they're being exposed to things they have never seen before, just like I was when I was a child. And not only are we doing construction, but we're doing renovation work. So we're doing a lot of things in Haiti. It's a wonderful time. The Lord has opened the door for us beyond our expectations. We're doing more than we would have imagined in the first year, and we're having a great time with these children because they're being and seeing things that they have never seen before. In the video we will show you in a few minutes, we received from Canada a donation of Lego, big box of Lego, worth hundreds of dollars. And what do we do with these Legos? Well, since there's political unrest and we don't have many people coming to visit us this summer, we took one of our guest house rooms, we took out all the beds, put the Legos, and having the kids play with the Legos in groups, age groups. We have 30 kids. They're learning to be creative with their hands. This is wonderful. This is really impressive. We're seeing these kids learn things, do things with their hands. I don't know if you remember last year when I was here, I was telling you that one of the biggest problems that's challenging for Haitians is to learn more than just 2 + 2 = 4. They go to school, they have no material. If they have books, that's great, but it's not always the case. If they have a pencil and paper, that's great, but it's not always the case. So when they're going through school, they're doing a lot of rote learning. Rote learning is 2 + 2 = 4.
2 + 2 = 4.
They're repeating. They have great memories. They have good social skills, but they don't know how to do things with their hands. And when I did this presentation, the presentation I did with you in the last year, I did it in a Haitian church in Montreal. The pastor of the church, who's Haitian-born, came forward and said, "What Peter has said is so true. When I graduated from high school in Haiti," he said, "I had all this information in my head, but I had no experience with my hands. And I compared that to what we have as experience as children growing up here in Canada. So I'm speaking to the youth and all those who were youths at one point. We, most of us, we grew up, and when we finished high school, we already had experience working in McDonald's, Harvey's, Dunkin' Donuts, or Tim Hortons, and all different stores. We had experience before we even finished high school working. We also had experience in school with different apparatuses. The kids in my community have never used a magnifying glass in their life. We have some of our youth that are 20 years old. They have never touched a magnifying glass. So when the founder of the ministry came to Haiti during Christmas time, I had him bring a whole bunch of things for me to show these kids. I had them bring electronic equipment. I had them bring magnifying glasses. I had them bring we had a microscope. That was wonderful. I'll make a parenthesis right here. My wife has said it. The ministry received years ago an oil-based microscope. I don't know if anybody knows what an oil-based microscope is. It's a big microscope, about this big. It has a magnifying possibility of about 400 times. But to be able to use this microscope, you have to put a drop of oil on a piece of glass. Anyways, big story. It just means it's a complicated microscope. Nobody has used it before because nobody knows how to use it. I do. So I'm getting in the process of using it and showing it. I've just used it myself just recently because I was able to pull it out, test it. I was supposed to give a course on this big microscope, but then again, the political unrest blew out of the water. So many things in Haiti. The children, the schooling is such a problem when there's manifestations. The kids can't come to school because they're afraid to go down the roads because they're afraid of the manifestors and the people making roadblocks. So sometimes our school is closed for days on end. And then that makes us stress because we can't finish on time. What a challenge. But I did have a smaller microscope about this big, you know, those toy microscopes. So I was able to bring that to the school and sit down with a bunch of students and have them all work with one microscope. So we didn't have a microscope for every kid. So it was the first time they used a microscope. A few days before, the teacher had borrowed from me the magnifying glasses. So he was able to have them burn paper with a magnifying glass. That's fun, eh? It's an experience. You take a piece of paper, you go outside with the sunshine, you burn paper. And then you pray there's no forest fire. So these children are being exposed to things that they have never seen before, which is great because it opens up their imaginations. It opens up their creativity. We're focused on having these kids build a new Haiti. So we're giving them something different from what they had in the past. What they had in the past was nothing. So then you're probably saying to yourself, well, isn't this bad for them? Now they're being exposed to things that maybe they'll never see in the future. No, I'm saying let's expose them to as much as we can so they can get their thought patterns changing, the desires changing, and not just growing up saying, I'm going to be a farmer like my mom and my dad. But at the same time, we want them to become very good farmers because we can't have them all become people involved in electronics, computer science, and all the things we're showing them. We want them to be able to do those things and at the same time work the land. Because the Bible says there's a rich, la richesse dans la terre. There's riches in the earth, which means that if you cultivate the grounds, you'll get vegetables and you can sell your vegetables and eat. There's so many people in Haiti, the parents are leaving their kids behind in the countryside to go work in Port-au-Prince. I don't know why everybody's running after big cities. It's the same thing here in Canada. Everybody's running after Montreal or Quebec or the big cities. Our farmlands are depleted of children because they all want to come to the city. Who's going to feed us in the future? And it's the same thing in Haiti. So as we're working in Haiti, maybe we can just move forward. As we're working in Haiti, not only are we showing them computer science, we'll move on to the next next image. I just want to make sure I'm on time. So we finish at 3, you said? Oh, that's good. This was our first computer class. I had the images inversed in my PowerPoint. I got to get that straight. This was our first computer class. This is after school, not in school. So these kids are giving up their time to come back to school to learn computer science. And these kids helped me teach the classroom in the first picture. So I'm teaching kids computer science, but I'm having them teach computer science. I believe in the multiplication process, just like Jesus did with the disciples. He trained disciples who trained disciples, and you are great, 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 great challengers, great, great, great grandkids of the first disciples. And I hope you're doing the same thing. I hope you're being good soldiers and you're multiplying and bringing other people to become good soldiers, good disciples, children of God. So we're using these principles in Haiti. We'll move on to the next picture. And my wife is doing the same thing with the little ones. So she's sharing the word of God. We have an open door in Haiti to preach and teach at any time. Nobody's stopping us. There's no government regulation saying you can't teach kids in school about Jesus. You can't witness about Jesus. There's no regulations that says you cannot, you have to remove every expression of faith that you can be carrying on you. So I'm just wondering if in the next few years if we'll start seeing more and more Christians with a cross on their cheek tattooed because you can't remove it. What's going to happen? Who knows? The government's going to try to stop us here to share our faith, but the Holy Spirit is giving us new ways of reaching out to people to share our faith. Don't let the government limit what Christ is going to do through you there where you are. But in Haiti, we don't have these challenges. We have the capability of sharing our faith with children any time of the day. You're in school, you want to talk about Jesus. Okay, you got to give your curriculum, you got to teach math, you got to teach your science courses, you got to teach English, or actually French and Creole, but you can talk about Jesus, which is wonderful. Next picture. I was also involved with supervising construction, as I mentioned a few minutes ago. This was a new guest house. We had a donation. A Quebecer made a beautiful donation to the ministry where we work to build a new guest house. So the money came in, and he designated to a construction of a new building. So while I was there, I was helping them supervise the construction of this building. Thank you, Lord. Just like the other picture, here I am again with a young man with a motor, opening up the motor, showing him what's inside of the motor, because I'm dreaming further. Trade school, I would like to see a workshop with electronics, motors, and motorcycles. Why? Because there's so many motorcycles in Haiti. We'd love to have them be trained to properly fix motorcycles with the right tools. They do an incredible job of repairing motorcycles with anything they can. It's quite impressive to see how they repair motorcycles with so many limited tools, but they're doing it. It would be great to see them doing it easier. When you're doing work, if you find your work difficult, it's because you don't have the right tools. And one day we would like to see that go forward. So how do you repair a motorcycle? Well, first of all, you got to start learning about motors. Electric motors is a good way to start. We'll move on. And again, the different challenges, just to explain why this picture is there, rain. It rains cats and dogs in Haiti because we land up stepping into poodles. And these poodles are big. And the water is so, that's behind our room. So when it rains that much, it's incredible to see the water flow. And it was all coming towards our house, our room, and seeping into the floor and putting another puddle on the floor in the room. And then the rain that's coming in from the front, when the wind changes, hits the front door, hits the bottom of the floor, and comes in. So we got puddles coming in from the front and from the back. So we decided to work the grounds a bit to get the water away. It's a challenge. Nothing is simple in Haiti. Why? Because we have limited tools, limited access, limited travel in the last year. So it has been a big challenge. And when you do things and you're communicating with the people and their work habits versus our work habits, you got to relax. You got to take it easy. You explain things. You say, I would like it this way. They turn around and do it another way. And then you look at it and you negotiate. Yeah, that seems to work. Okay. But I said this way and not that way. Okay. The next time, I hope we get it right. I hope they learn through what we're teaching them and how to do things differently. Because there's two ways to do things. one way or the other. And sometimes I have more experience than they have in some aspects, and other aspects, they have a lot more experience than me. They've seen me react more than I've seen them react. You understand? So they're a good witness to me to stay calm. Praise the Lord. So we're growing together. The next image, that there's not supposed to be any water there. That goes downstairs to our bathroom area, to our washing area. And during the rainy season, we shouldn't have water, that much water going down the stairs. So we got different challenges. You go to the washroom, you got water. But this just explains to you how things are in Haiti, where we're living. Now, when we have rain here in Canada, it rains. It doesn't pile up that much. And if it does, it's something exceptional. But there, during the rainy season, every afternoon around 5 o'clock, it pours. And then it lasts like that for a few days. We're up in the mountains, so it pours more than in Port-au-Prince because we're in the mountains with the cold air, warm air, the vegetation that we have around us. So it's quite a challenge. And you got to get used to this. And when it pours, forget about communicating with your wife over supper. Because it starts to pour sometimes at 5 o'clock and continues to pour until 7 o'clock at night. And since we have aluminum roof with no insulation, you can't communicate. So you sit and you eat and you smile. We'll move on to the next one. In January this year, we hired an agronomist, I think it's called in English, an agronome en français, a person that studies how to work the land. He's not a farmer. He knows how to work with the plants. He will come and help you and do things and teach you things. So we started this year in January. 3 months later, we have cabbage growing and ready to be cultivated. We've did many pilot projects because what we want to do is to learn what can grow in our environment, because the land where we live has been overexploited with sugarcane, just like we did here in Canada. We almost killed our farmlands in Canada because we did corn harvest year after year after year after year and depleted the ground. They're living the same problem where we live because it's a beautiful area, a lot of greenery. They planted sugarcane because sugarcane brings in money, because Haiti develops an international rum that sells everywhere. And they need sugarcane to produce rum. But the problem is they're continuously repeat harvesting sugarcane year after year. Their stock is getting smaller and smaller, and they're making less and less money. So what we're hoping to do with this is to see what grows in our environment, what can be done to have them change their harvest, if that's the right word in English, so they can start making more money with something new. So we're trying different things, seeing what will grow in our grounds and how we can sell the products and help our community and then help the zone. The community is where we live. The zone is the region around us. Different words, but that's what we use in Haiti. So in our community, with our 30 families, we're cultivating land. We have different plots of land on the property we have. So we're growing corn, we're growing beans, we're growing cabbage, peppers, aubergine. I don't remember that. Eggplant. So we're different things we're doing. We got coffee. We've got mango. We have that everywhere on our property. So we're different things we're doing to see how we can help this community to become a witness to the zone, that we can grow and make money a different way. Because if the zone continues the way they're on right now with the sugarcane, I don't know how long, in how many years will it become so poor that they're going to get so poor it's going to become a crisis. So we're trying to be a witness. How can we do things smart? How can we depend on God? How can we get God involved with what we're doing to succeed? Wouldn't it be ridiculous to send your children to school that their life in the future will be even more poor than what you're living right now? It wouldn't work because the economy is growing. Haiti has another trouble. The American dollar is so strong the Haitian dollar is going so far down that I have not seen in Haiti anybody dying of mourir de faim, dying of hunger. I haven't seen that in Haiti. I traveled across Haiti. I went to Haiti 4 times. This was my 4th time, the longest time. I have not seen anybody dying of hunger in Haiti. I see a lot of malnutrition. I see a lot of people not eating well three meals a day. They don't eat 3 meals a day. But I didn't see anybody dying of food, hunger. But one of the people that I work with, who's a Haitian-born, a very well-educated person, a person that travels around his country, he's saying, yeah, but if this continues, we're going to start seeing people die of hunger. Because the American dollar is being so strong in Haiti that their capacity of buying rice from USA, it's getting more and more expensive. When I was there, just to give an example, when I was there, we were buying one gold, which is a Haitian currency, a gold. We could buy with one Canadian dollar, we could buy, well, let's put it into American. For one American dollar, you could buy something like 65 gold 2 years ago. Today, one American dollar is buying 93 gold. So the price went up, and that's affecting the population. They're struggling, and the struggle is getting worse with the American dollar being so high. So please pray for Haiti. Please pray for the political situation, the financial situation, for the work, for the children, for everything. They need to be surrounded by prayer because the Lord wants to do a work in Haiti. So I'll just move on. Yes, I do preach. Yes, I do teach. I'm not only building a trade school, I'm doing everything I can to help these people. The Lord has equipped me with a lot of trades, a lot of knowledge, a lot of things I can bring to Haiti. But what I want to do is not do everything for them. I want to share the Word of God, I want to teach them, and I want to have them teach what I taught them so that I can move on to do something else. And I'm using the young men and women to do this. We also are using, when I went to Haiti, we had to do language and culture training. When I was in the school at one time, I noticed a young man. He was a little bit older than the other students because he couldn't get an education when he was younger. So he's about a year or two older than the students in his grade. But I recognized this young man when I was there on one of my trips. And at one point I said to the person that started the ministry, his name is Richard, I said, Richard, who's that young man? So he talked to me about him. This young man is walking with Christ. He was shining in the classroom. Yes, he was a little bit taller than the other ones, but it wasn't his height that got my attention. It was his épanouissement en Christ, his well-being in Christ. He was shining as a Christian. And I said to him, how old is he? I think he was 15, 16 years old, because he's now 16. So when we got to Haiti, I went to see the founder, and I said, I would like to have that young man as my teacher to teach me Creole. He's never taught in his life. That's not a problem. I'm going to help him to teach me. I know how to teach. So I took a young, instead of taking an adult to teach me Creole, I took a youth because I want to teach him how to teach. Because one day he might use what he's doing now to teach another Canadian or another American or another person from a country. He'll know how. He will have the experience of teaching. So we're focusing on the youth. So much so that my teacher is a youth. So I've learned Creole. I can read more than I can speak. And what we're hoping is in the next year, we'll learn how to speak. Because that's a challenge. Have any of you ever heard Creole, the language, spoken? It's very interesting. But they got so many contractions in their language. I'll give you an example. One day I'm with a gentleman, a good friend of mine, he's a teacher in the school, and his wife comes by and says to him, Vimpalio. I probably didn't pronounce it properly. She said, Vimpalio. And I looked at my friend Dalzi and I said, what did your wife just say? Oh, she said, come see me, I want to speak to you. In one word? No, he says it's 4 words, but it says it sounds like one word, Vimpalio. Oh, that's because it's a contraction. Vini, moi, Pali-u. This is going to be a bigger challenge than I thought. Not only do you have to learn the language, But then you have to learn how to speak the language currently. In a context of the culture, they're always speaking with contractions. So we learned all the words, quote unquote, right? We learned a lot of words. We're learning the sentence structure, but now we have to learn how to speak it in contraction. What a nightmare. But we're having fun. Okay, we're going to move on. And this is a picture of us during Christmas time. You can see there's no snow, but we have the Christmas plants with us, so that made us a bit happy. I don't know what these plants are called. I keep forgetting the name. Poinsettia, that's right. And that's just a little poinsettia. The tree is 6 to 8 feet tall, and it's got these beautiful red flowers. So, like I mentioned, we have a lot of flowers in Haiti, sunshine. December was a beautiful month in Haiti because the nights are a little bit cooler because we're up in the mountains. And now the summer was coming in and kicking in as we were leaving. We were leaving Haiti at 32 degrees and 80% humidity. Then we landed up in Montreal, and there was a heat wave coming through Montreal. So, hey, we just brought the weather with us. We were landing in Montreal. It was nicer. It was only 30 degrees and 50% humidity. But let me tell you, just those 2 degrees and the 30% more of humidity, just to make you laugh, I'll scan on the stage right here. One day I was sitting in my office on my computer, and I looked down, and my tummy was all wet of sweat. I'm not a sweaty type of person, so I'm looking at my stomach going, this is funny. I'm dying of heat. My stomach is all wet. I've never lived this before. No wonder I'm losing 15 pounds. Okay, the next picture is probably just the last. Yeah. I mentioned this before. Why are we cultivating the land? Why are we helping the kids to work the lands? It's because there's profit there. We cannot imagine how poor Haiti is. And it's poor upon poor, if I can put it that way, because the parents are leaving the children with family in the countryside to go into the city, hopefully to make money. And these children are growing up, and they're losing all of the trades their father and mothers had working the land. So it's a poor situation. So we're trying to bring back into the children into cultivating the land, to do something different with the land than just trying to grow sugarcane. And this Bible verse, the profit of the earth is for all. And if you read this section of the Bible, it's quite interesting. And you start seeing, hey, not only are we there to preach the word of God to help them to be saved, but if we save them and let them die of hunger, what are we doing? So it's a life cycle. And we got to get the life cycle going. And we're starting with the children. This is just a bit of information about who we are. My wife and I, Marie-Josée, we're POC, Associate Global Workers, and my email. And we want to thank you for having taken the time with us this morning. And I don't know if we'll be able to launch the little video. Isn't technology great? The pastor can sit here, share this with us, and work on his little tablet and get things running. My wife put together this little video.
Nous voyons ici la première classe d'informatique.
We're going to turn off the volume. So here we are. I'll just translate what my wife is saying. We're in our first classroom with computer science. We have 6 kids learning how to use a computer and to type with all their fingers. Because I told them, if you don't type with your fingers, all your fingers, don't come to my computer class. So they have to learn the basics. We're starting to make a foundation. And then we had a second classroom. I'm teaching electronics. I had this electronics station brought from Quebec. We have a school that we're building, and you can see the first classrooms. We have a roof made with, I don't know what it's called in English, but it's not a permanent roof because we want to build a second story. And this is the, when you saw me in a hole, this is one of the holes for the foundation for this building because we're building a new classroom because in September we're starting grade 10, and in grade 10 we need more classrooms and we need a computer science room because we need to put up our computers. Because in the Haitian curriculum, they have a computer course. But most of the students don't even have access to a computer. So I don't know how they learn computer science. My wife with the children. And this is a beautiful little scene. The children coming to school, the kindergarten students running to school. They're running, they're dancing, they're having a good time. We have an environment for them for an education, which is different from other schools. And this is, if you can put the volume on now, this is my wife. She's filming the children in kindergarten. I'll explain this later. Just have a time to listen to the music and see what they're doing. This is Kinder 3. There's three levels of kindergarten in Haiti.
Alors voici les petits dans leur classe. On leur apprend à parler français.
The children are in the classrooms. They're learning French. My wife is assistant teacher in a classroom. So she's helping. This is Kinder 2. Like I mentioned, we have three levels of kindergarten. I'll explain this in a few minutes. And she's with these children, helping them, sharing them with the Word of God, sharing them and being an example of Christ and helping a teacher to teach these children as they move forward in their education. This is a game that my wife and I introduced in the community. They have never played this game. I think it's something called like a cartwheel game. They're all standing there, and they have to go out of rank from their number. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. We call number one. The number ones run. They go outside the circle. That was number 5 running outside the circle. And then they got to come back and go underneath the legs and get the ball. We had a great time with the children teaching this new game. So they had a lot of fun. And we're helping to build a better future with these children. We have hundreds of kids in our kindergarten classes. We have three levels, kindergarten 1, 2, and 3. Kindergarten 1 starts at age 3. Kindergarten 2, 4 years old. Kindergarten 3, 5 years old. And this is our Lego classroom. We used to have beds there. This is the person working agriculture, starting his project and planting. And a few months later, we got beautiful cabbage grown. Bananas grow on our property. And we also have, I think the next picture is aubergine. So we're doing new things, developing new cultures. And yes, we do have the creatures. And they're quite big, these tarantulas, bigger than my hand. And this is one of the families from our community. And you can see the difference with one of the families outside of our community. So there is a difference because they have access to different things. This is a few pictures from in and around Port-au-Prince. And you can see here it's written Father, Eternal Father. Everywhere in Haiti, you'll see a reference to Jesus Christ on the trucks, on the buildings, on the taxis. This is an orphanage that we visited. They want to start a trade school. So what we're hoping to do is network, work with other ministries, get around Haiti, see what we can do together. And the student on the left was teaching the new student on the right. So the student on the left took my first computer course, and then he was sitting with the second student, teaching him what I taught him, how to move forward. So we're multiplying. We're doing things differently. And that's our goal. We have a vision that's far away. One of my future visions in all of this, to have the life cycle go forward, is to develop one day a placement office. Why? Because once we get a network of trade schools working together, we'll have all these kids graduating from different trade schools. What do we do with them? We can't just say, go away. When you go to a placement office, you're learning how to do your CV. You're learning how to present yourself in an interview. You're learning how to look for work. And that's what we want to do with these children. It has to be a complete life cycle. And if you would like more information about our ministry, please go to our website, More for Haiti. On our website, you'll have more information, more pictures. You will also have access to my wife's blog. And I would encourage you to go and read her latest blog, one of her latest blogs, where it talks about a dog. Haitians don't treat dogs well compared to us. We take care of our dogs. I know that the pastor enjoys dogs because they used to have two schnauzers, and they're in the process of getting a new dog. But in Haiti, we had three dogs hanging around the property. One of the dogs got pregnant, and since the dog was always on the property, I figured maybe it was a stray dog, but it wasn't. I tracked down the owner, and I said to the owner, when the puppies are born, I would like to buy a puppy. And she said, okay, because I offered her some money. And since the dog is never at her place, it's always around us because we feed it. It had been like that for a number of years, probably, because the community, although they don't treat well dogs, they have leftover food, and they just give it to the dogs, so the dogs stick around. And I said, I'd like to buy the puppy. She said, okay. The dog had one puppy, so I gave it to my wife. So it's now 5 months old, 6 months old, and we're using this dog to teach the community to respect animals. Unfortunately, in Haiti, one of the cultural problems or challenges they have is the parents beat children for any reason. Okay? So it's a social problem in the country. But in our school, none of the teachers can beat the children. In our community, none of the parents can beat their children. And we're stopping them from beating dogs. So what we're doing with this dog, as it's growing, we're teaching them how to train a dog to obey and to obey to orders. So I have a pocket with dog food in my pocket all day long. And when I see my dog, I say, Bella, come here. Assis. So Bella sits. Give me your paw. She gives me her paw. Lie down. She lies down, and I give her a treat. Now the Haitians see me doing this. They're all excited because I give them the food sometimes. And they say to Bella, sit down. And the dog sits down. They're going, oh, wow, this is cool. And I said, yeah, this is cool. We can train dogs to obey, and we can respect dogs and have a good interaction with them. So the children in the community, they're having fun with this dog. Instead of beating it now, they're running around playing with it, and I sometimes give the treats to the kids, and the kids are sitting with the dog, sit down, Bella, and Bella sits down. You know? Give me your paw, and they're all excited about this dog. So we're changing the way they're seeing things by doing things differently and teaching them new skills, new trades, new behaviors, and we're having a wonderful time. We thought we would be there for the first year learning language and culture. But we've done so much more. Because God has opened the door. He's showing us what to do. He sent us computers. I could not imagine that. This ministry where we work, they were hoping one day to start trade school. And they were thinking about sewing machines. I land up there. A few months later, we get a number of computers sent to us. We've had 5 computers sent to us. We actually had 6 computers sent to us. 2 broke down, and 4 are still working. But we had a computer in the community, so we have 5 computers working with the students. I had 5 students. My classroom had more because there was a few teachers that said, we want to come to the computer course also. I couldn't say no. They had their own computers. But they want to learn more about computers. So we're teaching them how to use computers. In September, we have a challenge because we're starting grade 10, and we have about 15 students. We have 5 more computers coming. We had 5. We got 5 more. We're missing 5. So as we're traveling around Quebec, Ontario, and New Brunswick, we're sharing our need with the churches. So if you have an old computer, a laptop, okay, we're making precision. If you have a laptop that's sitting around and you're not using it, and you know it's a good laptop, and it could probably run Windows 10, and you would like to make a donation, please let us know, because we want to be able to go back to Haiti with 5 more computers. So as we're traveling across this summer, meeting churches, we're sharing them with them, and we've already gone across north of Quebec. We've already picked up a few computers. One of the computers, I don't know if it's going to make it to the transportation to Haiti, because it's an older computer. So as we go around, if we can pick up another computer or 2, I would like to find 5 more computers during my summer. What I'm praying for is to find 10. Now you're saying, why do you want 5 more? Well, because I have another idea in the back of my mind. When I bring these computers into the school and I set up my computer classroom, I will be teaching that course in September. I will have 15 students. What do you think the teachers in the school are going to say to me? Can you teach us computers? Yeah, I can already hear them. So I want to be able to, and I have more than 15 teachers in the school. They're not my teachers, but we have more than 15 teachers. And what's going to happen is they're going to want to learn computers. So I'm hoping to have at least 20 computers by September. And that's going to be a challenge because we also need electricity. I'll make you laugh. When I got there, we had water from the city. We had high-speed fiber optic internet connection in this community. No electricity from the city. So we had to use our solar panels, But solar panels can only give so much energy. And we're hoping to get electricity. And in the last year, the city has put the wires down the street. So in principle, we can have access to electricity soon. But then we need financial backing for that because electricity costs money. But we're believing the Lord. He provided computers. So we're going to believe. He's going to provide the money that we need for electricity. He's going to provide for the computers. And the Lord is going to bring things forward because it's His plan. We can see it. He brought the computers. That was amazing. And I couldn't just sit there with computers and say, I'm not going to do anything in my first year because I'm going to learn just language and culture. That's the only reason I'm here for, language and culture. No, I couldn't do that. I'm a soldier of Christ. We're in a war. We're in a fight against the devil. We want to teach these kids new trades, new things. We want to teach them farming, computer science, electronics, mechanics. We have a student that was not functioning well in our school. So we took him out of school and started a trade school program for him, even if we're not a trade school yet. I said, might as well do something with him because he can't go back to school. He was 21 years old in grade 9, not functioning in school. Bright kid, but not for school. So we got him hooked up with the construction. So I'm now counting how many hours a week he's working in construction, how many hours a week he's working in agriculture, and after work program, he's coming to one of my computer classes. So we're doing something constructively with a child that could not function in high school. And we're teaching him. And he's giving us the knowledge of how to build a trade school because we're experimenting it with him. So these are all the challenges we're having in Haiti. These are all the good times we're having in Haiti. We're doing great. Okay, we're losing weight, but most people would like to lose weight. And we're having our challenges, but we're learning to be dependent on God for everything. Emotionally, physically. This morning, somebody from the church came to see me and, how's your wife doing? Because she was reading one of her newsletters, and my wife got sick in the last month. And I said, she's doing good. I said, even when she was sick, she was gaining weight. So we don't understand, but when do we have to understand what God is doing? God is doing great and amazing things, and He's helping us to go forward. So thank you very much for your time. I'm just wondering if my wife had a little witness or something she wanted to say. Everything's fine? I said everything. Do you want to say something? No? So I'll give the microphone back to your pastor, if you would come forward. And thank you very much, brother, for having us with you.
Very good to have you.
Thank you.
Amen. It's good to hear what's happening in Haiti, even with dogs. I think that's pretty cool, that using a dog. I mean, the creativity that comes from us as Christians is great. I just wonder if the two of you could come up here, and we'd like to pray for you. You know, I was just, as we were sitting there, thinking that you came in January of 2018 to share what you wanted to do. And, you know, it's always kind of a blessing to be at the first of something. When you send off a ministry, like, you know, people come in, they've been over in some country for years and years, and they come in and share with us. But what an excitement it is to hear that we're on the first, starting point of this ministry in Haiti, of which you folks have had a vision for. And so we're delighted from Cornwall Pentecostal Church that we can be on the initial stages and the kind of the sending you off in the first year and hearing all the good things. Yes. Yeah.